You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Daily Vet Life podcast, where we chat with equine veterinarians about the cases they've worked on in their clinics. I'm your host, Alex Beckstedt, editorial director of Equimanagement, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Jesse Tima about a complex case involving a foal with a pyloric outflow obstruction. This episode of the Daily Vet Life podcast is brought to you by DECRA. Dr. Tima grew up in New Hope, Pennsylvania, and attended Amherst College for her undergraduate education, followed by Cornell University's College of Veterinary Medicine. She completed a rotating internship at Rhinebeck Equine, followed by a large animal surgical residency at the University of Georgia, and she became a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Surgeons in 2019. She joined Rhinebeck Equine in 2023. Dr. Tima is the chair of the AAEP Early Career Committee and is both a Decade One and Starting Gate Group Facilitator. Her clinical interests include gastrointestinal and soft tissue surgery, wound management, juvenile angular limb disorders, sports medicine, and back disorders. She is passionate about providing dedicated mentorship for intern veterinarians and building a strong sense of community and collaboration through her practice. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Tima.
Thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate the opportunity to get to interface with everyone.
Yeah, we appreciate it as well. So before we jump into talking about this case, I do want to learn a bit about the foal's background and medical history, because this filly has had a bit of a rough road since birth. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. I first heard about this filly when she was minutes old. This is a standardbred filly. She was born. The farm manager reached out to our emergency service immediately because it was a hard pull. And just based on her palpation, and she is an extremely good farm manager and is really well trained when it comes to management of foaling out mares and whatnot, and what to look for, what to be concerned for. She was concerned that the foal had some rib fractures immediately after they had to pull her from the mare. And immediately following palpation, the foal also began to have some epistaxis. I believe it was unilateral at that time. So when we consulted with the farm manager, we were concerned that the foal could not only have rib fractures, but possibly also a hemothorax.
When did she present to your clinic with the obstruction?
After we had that initial conversation, we recommended that this foal be seen by the closest referral center that she could get to, which is not my hospital. So the foal was managed, did have several rib fractures repaired, and was hospitalized in her neonatal days. The rib fracture repair went well, and the foal was overall doing well. And then to follow up, the foal started to get a bit ill-thrifty, was mildly colicky, and she started producing significant gastrointestinal reflux. At that point, that is when the foal presented to our hospital for further workup for the colic, the ill-thrift, and the persistent reflux. She was about 2 weeks of age at that point.
What you collaborated with some of your colleagues there at the clinic to work through this case. Can you walk me through kind of like the diagnosis, the procedure, all that?
Absolutely. So based on knowing the foal's history, there was certainly concern about outflow obstruction at the pylorus. The foal had seen a fair amount of NSAIDs associated with the surgical procedure that she had, which was a very appropriate management for what was going on with her. And with these clinical signs, in our hospital setting, neonates are managed by our internal medicine team primarily, and we consult as a group. So they took the foal in, did a physical exam, did a gastroscopy, and on gastroscopy, the stomach was significantly ulcerated, both the glandular and I believe the squamous parts as well. And then when we were looking at her pylorus, it's like it had strictured down to almost nothing. Like there was absolutely no outflow that we could visualize. What we followed up with thereafter was a barium study. So we tubed barium into the foal and radiographed it at successive times, where in a normal foal, we would expect that to begin to pass through the gastrointestinal tract. And in this foal, it didn't move anywhere. It just sat in the stomach because there was nowhere for it to go from there. So that gave us our diagnosis, or confirmed our diagnosis, both of those, that this foal had complete pyloric outflow obstruction and had absolutely like no way of moving anything from her stomach into her duodenum at that time.
Calling all equine veterinarians. Are you tired of feeling like you're on an island when it comes to caring for your patients? DECRA Veterinary Products is here to bridge that gap. They understand the challenges you face. That's why they offer a comprehensive line of high-quality products like Zycosan and Osfos, and empower you to offer your patients cutting-edge therapies like Provet APC. They're not just a supplier, though. DECRA provides ongoing training and support to help you stay ahead of the curve and deliver the best possible care. Visit www.decra-us.com to discover how DECRA can be your partner in equine health. What was your decision-making process on how to treat that?
Sure thing. So because the foal had completely structured down, really, we were at a point in the road here where we either needed to take this foal to surgery to do a bypass procedure or euthanize, while some cases of gastroduodenal ulcer disease, or GDUD, which is commonly called, can be managed medically. This is not the appropriate case to do so because there's absolutely no outflow. And so we got consent to go to surgery, and that's what we did next.
It sounds like the filly's owners were very dedicated to her care if they're pursuing all of these therapies at such a young age.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They are dedicated. They're absolutely dedicated and will do right by their animals with, as long as there's a reasonable prognosis on the other side, like in a very fair way too, which I appreciate.
So you must have thought that this filly would had a good enough prognosis to pursue surgery then.
Yeah, absolutely. There's unfortunately not a ton of literature on this disease specifically, and she's a bit of an odd presentation as well. It is an uncommon disease, but it is most typically seen in foals that are 2 to 6 months old. And she was quite a bit younger. She was two and a half weeks, I think maybe about 17 days when we saw her. So significantly younger, but did have the predisposing factor. I would presume it's the NSAIDs that she saw that led to this for her, contributed as a causation for this filly. But there are truly limited reports of what is out there. I think anecdotally, the younger foals are thought that they maybe have the opportunity to do better. Older foals, if there is any duodenal stricture, those ones tend to not do as well. But we're really looking at a 50-50 prognosis on these guys typically of whether or not they're going to walk out the door.
Okay. Were there any special considerations that you had to keep in mind given her previous injuries with the ribs?
Sure. Her ribs were very adequately stabilized. So it was more just how we handled her when we were moving her when she was anesthetized more than anything else. And continuing, she was only about 2 weeks post-op for those. So just continuing incisional care there.
Okay.
But she did not seem to have any respiratory complications associated with the rib fracture repair that put her at greater anesthetic risk for us to operate again.
Yeah. So what was the recovery process like, the outcome? What's her state right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So surgery went really well. It is a procedure that the stomach is actually much more accessible in a foal than it is in an adult horse. We don't often think about doing primary gastric surgery in full-size horses, but in a foal, it is very accessible. And because at this age, they're not really hindgut fermenters at that point because they're on a purely milk diet. Actually, the stomach is larger relative to an adult horse. The stomach is a lot bigger in size compared to the colon and the cecum. The colon and cecum are really, really tiny in babies of this age. So the incision, while it is cranial compared to, say, the average incision in an adult horse, it is very accessible. You make that connection between the proximal jejunum and the stomach in the direction of the outflow. And I'm not going to say it's a simple procedure, but it's you do that one thing and then you move on. And then they do require pretty intensive management thereafter. And again, this is where our brilliant internal medicine team is the one who got her through this with her parenteral nutrition, intravenous fluid support to support any electrolyte imbalances, gastroprotectant therapy because her stomach was a wreck as well, broad spectrum antibiotics, judicious meds and analgesia otherwise. The filly did have some other issues as well. The parenteral nutrition was super important. She was very low body condition at that point and had some decubital ulcers as well. That has been part of her ongoing management project, but she did very well following the surgery. She never colicked. She began passing manure pretty quickly after surgery. What we did was, like I said, we started on parenteral nutrition and allowed her to start nursing on her mare for very small amounts of time while she was still separated largely until we built up that time knowing that she was able to nurse and to pass that milk through her gastrointestinal tract appropriately and pass manure on the other side. The foal never colicked. We never had to pass a tube. We never had any reflux issues, things like that.
So how long was she in the clinic for?
She's still in the clinic, but not because of her gastrointestinal issues, more just still following up on some wound management concerns with the decubital ulcers. And again, like we had said, with a very dedicated owner, I think they are just happy for the continued management. She's done really well. She's been in our hospital for about 5 weeks now.
Wow. And has she had any other issues requiring veterinary intervention not related to this case?
Sure. So we've been managing a pretty significant wound over her left coxofemoral joint, not associated with the joint, but that has been difficult to protect with the bandage, to get it to granulate appropriately with there's a fair amount of movement between the muscle planes there. So that's been tricky. And with all wounds, we need time. Right. She's healing well, pretty much as soon as she's really built up her body condition quite beautifully at this point. She's appropriately muscled and in good condition for her age now. She did have a recent core limb lameness that popped up acutely. She had elevated inflammatory markers. There was some concern either she had increased anechoic effusion in one of her bicipital bursas. That was not a septic process that we determined that when we tapped and lavaged that bursa. There were some concerns that perhaps she had possible bone changes in her proximal humerus. An empirical antimicrobial switch has seemed to resolve those issues. Her lameness has improved. She is doing very well at this point. So she's just on antimicrobials and is having ongoing wound management at this point, which is pretty minimal. It's mostly just monitoring.
Wow. What a trooper. This filly.
Yeah. She is, it's interesting working with injured doctors every year. I feel like there are always some cases that each one of them gets to work with because of how they rotate through the services. And those are the ones that they remember the most because they all, get to be a part of the intensive care. And she's certainly like one of the cases that define their intern year in that way.
I can imagine so. Yeah. Now you mentioned that there's not a ton of literature on, I think the obstruction in particular.
Yep.
But so is that a pretty rare condition that you don't see very often?
Like I said, it is relatively uncommon and it occurs most commonly in foals that are older than her as well. Okay. So yes, it is right. Uncommon. I think where you're going to see it most is the areas of like really, really heavy breeding farms. So like in Kentucky, I'm sure that they see probably more on average than everyone else, just because of the volumes of foals that are coming through those hospitals there.
Right. Well, is there any other advice that you would give veterinarians that are dealing with similarly complex neonatal cases like this?
Seek out internal medicine help. They're brilliant. And I mean, I like talking about this case because it's really interesting, but I am so grateful for the team approach that we have at Rhinebeck and that the surgeons and internists and really truly all of the specialists in the hospital get to work together on these type of cases so that we can provide really a complete spectrum of care to get them what they need. But foals are really complex and things can go awry really fast, especially when they're very young, truly neonatal. So quick referral on cases like this, anything with suspected rib fractures. I didn't really talk very much about rib fractures or that issue in and of itself because we didn't really deal with it. But essentially referring quickly when there are concerns with a neonatal foal, if that's an option, I think is prudent.
Right. So are you still involved in her care at all? Or have you handed that off to the internal med team and some of your other colleagues?
It's always been with the internal med team. I'm really okay. consulting from the side here. I look at her wound every day or every couple of days. I was okay. Assessing the shoulder lameness last weekend. Today I met with a farrier and she had a hoof trim. She was getting a little bit lax. So while I'm not part of her daily care and treatment plan, I am still checking in and consulting to see what's going on and what the ongoing plan is and ensuring that wound continues to heal appropriately.
Got it. So, I mean, do you anticipate that if she continues to recover well, that she'll have a perfectly good quality of life? Or what's, I mean, what's her prognosis to be an athlete or whatever her future is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the goal is certainly to be an athlete for her. Luckily, she is also a Philly as well. So she, I'm not sure how valuable her bloodlines are, but I know that from her particular owner that when they are, that could be a future career for her as well. If she, for whatever reason, is not able to be a racehorse, but nothing that we've done and the gastrointestinal component should not limit her prognosis to be a racehorse at all as well. I think that if we were going to go the wrong way with that 50-50 after the gastrojejunostomy that we performed, I think we would have seen that by now because we're more than a month out from surgery at this point.
Right. Well, what a fascinating case. You're right. That's memorable for sure.
Yeah. It feels like quite a story in it. You know, things keep changing, keep popping up, and she keeps us on her toes, but it's been a really rewarding case to be a part of as well.
Well, I hope that it's only positive changes from here on out.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Taima, for coming on and sharing this case with us. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Alexandra.
Well, that's it for this episode of Daily Vet Life. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. And thank you to DECRA for their support.